morning. Good morning. Can we just stand as we just open our hearts and minds to worship? I don't think that God makes any mistakes. I think that we were all here for one purpose, and that is to worship Him for all that He's done for us. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love. Here in your love is no place. It's no place,
no place
I'd rather be.
It's no place,
no place I'd rather be.
Here in your love, here in your love.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. I want more.
I'd rather be but here in the house of the Lord, giving him all the praise, giving him all the glory, giving him all the honor, because he is the same God every day, every day, every day, every day. God is the same God every day. I'm calling on the God of endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of
Moses,
the one who opened up the
ocean.
I need you now to do the
oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now.
Oh,
oh, oh God, oh God,
God of ages,
I'm standing on your
Lord, faithfulness. Oh, 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 I'm calling on the God of rest upon the
lowly.
I know that you all things are
possible.
I'm calling on the God of
David,
who made a shepherd born
for ages.
Cause I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you.
God will save you. How many of you know he will heal you? He's a provider. He's just God. He's very awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. How many of you know he's awesome in here today? It is simply says, you heard your children. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answer prayers back then, and you will answer now.
You are the same God.
You are.
How many of you know the word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Come on. How many of you know God is faithful? Come on. Let him know it today. Father, we bless you. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're so consistent. You're faithful. The sun rises. It sets, God. Lord, we're the ones that change. We're the ones that miss it. We're the ones that mess it up. But God, you are the same God. And we exalt you today in this house. We exalt you today, Lord, knowing that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. That's a faithful God. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them God's faithful, would you? Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you need encouragement today? Hallelujah. Need encouragement. Come on, you can be seated in his presence. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad that you stopped in today. Summer is a different time, you know, ups and downs and vacations and all these other things. But you know what? God is faithful. Would you join me this morning in just wishing a happy, happy, happy birthday to the First Lady of the House, Pastor Joy, would you? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you have joined me into the rank of the 60s. It's wonderful to have you in this decade. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Good to see Abby and Jeremy have come from Raleigh today as a surprise. And Mimi's sidekick, Ava's in the house. Come on, Ava. Ava. It's fun when I get to speak to Ava in kind of a corrective way. I go, Ava, take it up like that, Ava. So good to see Ava today. And Eli made it to the nursery, y'all. Come on. Eli's in the nursery checking it out. Praise the Lord. So glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Listen, there's a document that is circulating, a sign-up sheet for next Sunday. Is a Sunday where we will baptize in water right here. Amen. Water baptism. So if you need to be baptized, just kindly print your name on the sheet and put your cell phone number there, and we'll get in touch with you concerning water baptism this coming Sunday, the 30th. Just for your reference, if you wonder when we baptize, it's always on fifth Sundays. Fifth Sundays. The reason we do that is because our kids are already in the sanctuary, and many of those are ones who are going to be baptized as well. So fifth Sundays is baptism at CSIC. And what a wonderful way to express your faith. Soaking wet proof that God has done something powerful in your life and my life. Water baptism. So that'll be circulating through. Make sure you sign it or sign it for your kid and let us know who's going to be baptized next Sunday. Praise God. Well, it's time to give, y'all. Amen. Come on. Time to give. Luke 6:38 says what? Give and it shall be given you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many of you found God to be just that kind of way? Come on. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God will pour into your lap. And oftentimes he does it through other people. Amen. Oftentimes he does it through other people. So let's pray over the offering now, and then we'll let you come and release your funds into the buckets or give to the choice that you have. There's many ways to give online. There are many ways to give, and you can simply hit the QR code. If you're under 50 years old, you understand that more than anybody else. Hit the QR code and give that kind of way. So, Father, bless you today. Thank you, God, that you are the same God. You're faithful. You're such a faithful, faithful God. We give you honor. We give you praise today for who you are. Take what we give, Lord. Use it for the furtherance of the gospel, the message of your kingdom throughout the earth. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you in Jesus' strong name. Amen. As the worship team comes and sings again, let me remind you, if you're a guest today, please go by the Welcome Center in the foyer. We want to make sure we get a record of your visit today. And we have a gift for you. We have a gift for you. We want to get to know you, and you can be put on our mailing list, and we'll email you when things are coming up in the ministry. So make your way to the front, release your gifts to the Lord. God bless you, and thank you for giving today.
Blessed assurance that Jesus is enough. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one. take submission. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story. This is my song. Praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior.
Worship team, you can stay right there. I'll get you to sing that again in just a moment, especially the chorus. You can be seated in His presence. Praise the Lord. I want to take a moment this morning before we preach the gospel to welcome in those that are new members today. Amen. Welcome new members today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're so glad this morning that we have an opportunity to receive new people into the fellowship. If you're interested in that, we do that about four times a year. And if you're new to Carpenter Shop, you say, well, when do you do that? Well, we usually do it once a quarter. And I had fun with our team just this past Wednesday night. And as we were going along, I realized that we do things quite a bit different. I said, so here's the motto. If everybody else does it, we probably don't, okay? So we don't do it that way. So we have a membership class. And we had time to just basically take them on a journey and tell them how Carpenter Shop began and where we are today and where we believe we're going. And beautiful thing, we had so many testimonies, just wonderful testimonies. And I always ask the question, for you, why Carpenter Shop? Why are you here? And what brought you here? And then, of course, at the end of the night, we were saddened by some news. The very first person on the list today is Ricky Askew. So I'm going to ask you to pray for Ricky today. He's not here, but today he's joining the fellowship at Carpenter Shop International Church. And after he left the building just this past Wednesday night, Ricky had a heart attack right here on the property. And security, thank God for security, saw him, and we called the rescue squad, and they were able to take him to the hospital, later transported him to Greenville. So he is at home with family. He's with Brother Paul and Sister Joyce, and he is recovering and doing well, and sends his greetings to you today. Ricky Askew, welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. Come on, shout out to Ricky today. Praise the Lord. Anderson Bell, would you come and join us here on the platform? And you can give a welcome to all of these after we get to the list here. Come on, Anderson. Praise the Lord. Anderson was so excited about joining Carpenter Shop, and he, man, there's been so many things that have happened. Anderson just suffered the loss of a son just a week or so ago, and so pray for him. You know, he's recovering from that loss of a loved one, and so please pray for Anderson. He's been here in the fellowship for many months, and he joins us today. Billy and Stacy Collins, come on, join us on the platform here. Oh, come on, give it up for them. You can go ahead and clap your hands. Billy and Stacy. Praise the Lord. This couple has been pressing in. I noticed them just a couple of months back, started attending and worshiping God excitedly, has a track record of ministry, pastored church in the Tidewater area, and moved and built a home in Gates County, and now ready to call Carpenter Shop Church home. Come on, give it up for Billy and Stacy. Jeff Hewitt, serving over here on the left-hand side. Come on, Jeff. Jeff is engaged also in ministry, serving on the security team, and has already signed up to jump on the Big Bird and go to Africa to help build the church coming up February the 5th. Jeff Hewitt, praise the Lord. Holly and Noah Knowles, you guys step forward here. Everybody that I'm calling on is engaged in something already, all right? Praise the Lord. Abby and Jeremy are going to be so impressed because you have to, you know, you got to go through the processes and all. We just go ahead and put them to work, okay? All right. So Holly and Noah have been a tremendous addition to the worship team. And then there's Jessica Pyle and Italia Ferrante. Will you guys come on this morning? Amen. Jessica, also involved in the work of the ministry here through the kids ministry. And I remember when Jessica made her way to the church and started attending, and she was very inquisitive, you know, just, hey, asking questions and sitting in the balcony. I was like, hey, what's this girl? What's she doing? Asking all these questions and just watching from the balcony. But she watched long enough till she just jumped off the balcony into the deep water. And now she's in kids ministry. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Then Ashley Taylor. Come on, Ashley. Praise the Lord. I got a long text feed on my phone from words of encouragement to questions, and I could look at those text messages. I said, you know what? That boy's getting ready to join the church. He's getting ready to come on board. And he hungry for the word, getting involved, and already serving in our security ministry. Come on, give it up for all of these, would you? All of them. Amen. Would you just stretch out your hand? Pastor Joy, would you come to the platform and would you pray for these new members that they would very eagerly stay engaged in what God has called them to do, and that God would use them. Come on, somebody say, use them, Lord. God would use them to advance his kingdom right here at Carpenter Shop International Church. Just pray a prayer of blessing over them.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these people, for each one of them. And Lord, like Pastor said, they're already involved in your ministry. They're already involved in building your kingdom. They're already involved in encouraging and uplifting and investing in others. And so, Father, we pray protection over them as they make another step in the church, proclaiming Carpenter Shop International Church as their home. And so we give you praise for them today. We ask, Lord, that as they move forward in their relationship with you, that you would build them, grow them, encourage them, Lord, that as they reach out to others, that your kingdom will be continually built. We thank you, Lord, for them. We thank you, Lord, today that it marks a different season in their life. And we give you praise. We give you honor for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We see a big future for these people. And we give you praise, Lord. because their future is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated, guys. Thank you for joining us today and joining the fellowship at Carpenter's Hour. Come on, could you stand one more time and let's worship the Lord with this chorus? I sought the Lord. Come on, guys. Hallelujah.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Worship the Lord, the God who never fails. I sought the Lord, hallelujah, and he never failed me, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated in his presence. Praise the Lord. Faithful God, Lord, be with your people today. Lord, open the ears of the Spirit today that we might hear you. Open our eyes, God, that we might see you. Open our intellect, God, that we would have deposited into our minds the truth of your word, because you're the God who never changes. You change not, and you do amazing things in our lives, God, and we love you. And God, we ask you now to help us as we proclaim the truth of opened gates, Lord, open gates in our lives. God, you've swung the gate wide open for your presence to be on this earth. And so help us to walk in it every day of our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, I've been excited to preach to you on the Action Dynamics series. Messages from the book of Acts. I wanted so bad to preach this message just a couple of Sundays ago. And the Holy Spirit got all up in the Kool-Aid. Come on, y'all. The Holy Spirit got all in it. You know, so I was seeking the Lord, and I just said, Pastor Joy asked me one day this week, she said, you got your message ready for Sunday? I said, yeah, I got it ready 3 weeks ago, like I had done something big, you know. I said, remember, I didn't get to preach. So I want to stay focused on what I feel like the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit for you today. And he knew the calendar time. He knew the day. It doesn't matter. His word is always true, no matter what day you're reading it. So I want to speak a message to you, and I welcome our online audience. Thank you. Come on, give it up for people who watch online. Amen. Hallelujah. We're so glad to have folk who are following us and to be able to speak to the nations of the earth beyond Pentecost. Think about that for a moment. Beyond Pentecost. And we follow the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's such an incredible, incredible dynamic to know that God would trust all of his power. Somebody say all of his power. That he would trust every bit of his power to earthen vessels. Think about that. So, you know, and remember, the disciples were confused. Jesus was talking about when I go away. And can you imagine what conversations with them were like? What's up? What's he talking about? Go away. And they must have been really troubled, because John, when he pens chapter 14, remember, chapters are put there by man, but John, when he penned those words, he says, listen, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so, you know, God's plan was to leave with us, to flow through us, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I just tell you, I feel just a gentle peace over this house today. Do you feel that? Do you feel, some of you feel like you're sitting in your lazy boy at home, don't you? Come on, just be honest. Just throw your feet right up on the pew in front of you. It's not going to bother me, okay? But there's a presence on the house today that is just warm. And I thank God for that. We've been releasing these messages from the book of Acts, and it's really Luke's account of the establishment and the work of the early church, when it started, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of God's people. That's what the scripture bears out as well, that the Holy Spirit was poured out for the purpose of empowering, equipping us to do the works of Jesus on the ministry. And I love what he says about the work that we would do on the ministry. This is what he says. He said, listen, I've done a lot of things, but you will even do what? Greater things. You already know the story, don't you? Greater things. God says that we would do greater things. John 14:12. I tell you the truth. It's one of those verily, verily I say unto you words in the King James. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me. Wow. See, God's using some people y'all don't approve of. Can I just be honest with you? There, look at him up there with his tattoos, or look at him up there with his earrings. You done cast them out, but guess what God's doing with them? God's using them. God's using them. Listen, you cannot judge the book by its cover, friends. You cannot. Especially in this century, you just can't. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes, and that word belief is powerful if you chase it down in the original language. It's a reverential trust that's very deep. It's all in. It's one of those. It's not like I believe, because the devil believes. The Bible says he believes and he does what? He trembles. But he says, anyone who believes, who has a deep reverential trust in me, surrenders his life to me, will do the same works that I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. In other words, Jesus sent the helper. Jesus sent the comforter. Jesus sent the one that in the original language is called the paraclete, the one who's called along beside you. And he's there to help us. And Jesus was really doing what at that time? He was really opening the gate. Can you see it that way with me this morning? He was really opening the way, preparing the way for his presence to be upon this earth. The answer to life's complex situations really came to people when Jesus was on the earth. People were desperate. But in desperation, they would call out to, they would hear that Jesus was in town. And the Bible says that when Jesus was present, the Bible clearly says in the Gospels that crowds came to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, their sicknesses, their diseases. Jesus drew the crowd. And so what happens when Jesus is not here is he sets it up. He really opens the gate for the same presence, say that with me, presence, the same presence to still be here. And so listen, you and I, if we're not careful, we'll be lazy spirited. And we won't, you know, we'll just get comfortable, you know, weary and well-doing sometimes, frustrated. How many of y'all get frustrated with the church sometimes? Come on, besides me, I get frustrated with y'all. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? So how many of y'all get frustrated with me, okay? Man, what's he doing? Why does he do that? We get frustrated. How many of you get frustrated with church again? Come on, especially week before last when you were doing VBS every night. Come on, man. I got to live on more than a Happy Meal here. and you were giving of yourself, and there are times when you just want to check out and have some me time. And if we're not careful, we will become lazy-spirited with what God has trusted us with. He's trusted us with that same spirit, that same power that raised him from the dead. And really, so it opened the gates. So today, listen, today people should still be being healed. Today people should still be delivered. They should still be being delivered from demonic spirits. And man, we got our quota of demons. They should still be getting set free from demonic spirits. They should still be being able to become all that God ever intended. Everybody has a destiny assigned to their life. And every one of us, and if we're not careful, we'll be lazy spirited. That's really what's so intriguing about the stories of the Bible. Jesus laid this foundation teaching us to minister to, here we go, one person at a time. He's not asking you to stand up. You say, well, I'm not good speaking to 1,000 people. He's not asking you to stand up and speak to 1,000 people. Maybe he will, or maybe he has. But really, all he's asking you to do, come on, just one. Listen, just lift your finger. Come on, just one. Just one. Give me one, Lord. If you just ask God to give you one every day of your life, God, as I leave my house today, as I punch into that clock today, God, as I'm at work today, a place that I really get frustrated with sometimes, God, would you please anoint me today to be who you've called me to be and to touch somebody's life, okay? If you did that every day, walking in open gates, because God's already swung it open really wide, transformation would come to people's lives. Amen. You know what I get when I'm out in the public, I get my spiritual antenna up, you know? And I've noticed some patterns of things that God does in my life. I may have told you this before, but I've noticed that Tuesday is a big day for me. I look forward to every Tuesday. Why? Because something supernatural. It may not mean anything to you. It might just be the second day of the work week. But for me, God usually does some powerful things on Tuesday. So a lot of times I'll say, okay, God, what we got today? You know? And I'll meet new people. I'll be attentive to people's needs sometimes, because Tuesday's a day, you know, I've already got Monday over, and I'm kind of just like settling in on the rest of the week. And maybe it's because I'm more open. I don't know. But it's one person at the time. Transformation came to a woman at the well, remember? Remember that woman at the well? She was a mixed race woman who intentionally, because of the makeup of her life, she intentionally, and there were a lot of other dynamics going on there too, she intentionally stayed away from the well at the popular times. Stayed away. You know, I see people sometimes, I say, man, Walmart, what are you doing here so early? Well, I shop in the morning and stay away from people. Okay? I shop when other people aren't there. This woman went to the well when others were not projected to be there. Okay? She stayed away intentionally. Her life was a wreck. She'd been through a host of men, one after another, after another, another. Five failed marriages. And so she says to this next guy, hey, let's just live together. Okay? Don't want to go through the ceremonies and all that stuff, punch and cheese and vegetable tray. Let's not do that this time. I don't want to do that. I've had my quota of marriages, so let's just live together, okay? And her life was a messed up life. And Jesus comes to her and reads her mail. Jesus comes to her and she meets him, and she drinks of that water that he was able to give her, that living water. And after Jesus spoke the word to her, her life was totally transformed, and she became an evangelist, shouting all over town, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. See, to her, that was a big thing for him to walk in the gift of knowledge with her, the word of knowledge over her life. It was a big deal for her. So she says to everybody, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Jesus just had a way of changing lives one person at the time, woman at the well, one prodigal son, one man with a withered hand, one blind Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside begging, one woman with an issue of blood making her way through the crowds of people just to say, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, one stinking dead man named Lazarus when Jesus says, come out, Lazarus, and he comes out of the tomb. One here, one there, one everywhere. He turned. Don't you think for one North Carolina minute that Jesus doesn't see you at your point of need? Some of you may have wandered in here today. You may be that one person who just says, you know what? I think I'm going to church today. Now, can I just tell you, you're not here because you just got up and said, I think I'm going to church today. You're here because you might be that one person that God just wants to do something powerful in your life today. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He got your Facebook and your Instagram. He knows about you. Okay? He knows all about you. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows the deep insecurities that you have that always seem to rise up and try to defeat you. Jesus knows you. He's good at that. He modeled this in the Bible when he left this earth, poured out the Holy Ghost, and enabled his servants to minister to people. Here we go. One life at a time. Next few minutes, I just want to highlight one of those scenarios. It's in the book of Acts, chapter number three. Book of Acts, chapter 3. And I want to just kind of quickly move through this narrative here. It's a familiar story. You've heard the story. But I want to move through and I want to capture the heart of what I see. First of all, open gates, what God has done through the releasing of the Holy Spirit beyond Pentecost has really led to a more powerful prayer life. There are probably people sitting here that could easily say, well, I have a struggle praying. I have people tell me that as a pastor. All of my life I've had people say, Pastor Wallace, I just have a hard time praying. Like, you know, I pray, Lord, you know, I pray this, pray that, and the other thing, and I just have a hard time praying. Prayer is really unzipping your heart and just allowing God to hear you, here we go, from your heart. Because he knows you anyway, okay? So talk to God like you'd talk to the person that you're close to. Lord, I just want to talk to you. I'm frustrated. You know, you're not going to tell him anything he don't already know. Okay? Because he's omniscient. You say, well, what's the reason then? Because you want to be connected to him in an intimate way. You want to get close to him and you want to let him know that you trust him and that you're going to turn it over to him and you're going to trust him to turn it around for you. Some of you may be going through hardship and difficulty and think, man, how did I get here? Can I just tell you, he's the only one that can take the negative things that have happened or are happening in your life and turn them around and make something good out of them. So it's Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple and what I've underscored for you is it was a time of prayer. You see, Jewish people, they prayed how many times a day? Three. Okay? Three times a day were just mandated, appointed, ordained times of prayer. And they were going up to the temple. The Bible says it is at an appointed time. It's at 3 in the afternoon. It was an appointed time of prayer. And here's the reality of it. They had gone this route day after day after day after day of their life. So it was routine. Come on, y'all. It was mundane. How many of you feel like sometimes church gets that way? You know, just going. They were just going because it was an appointed time. It was 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and they were going. Some of you may have wandered in here, and you may think, well, you know, I'm just going today, you know. And God may do something off the charts for you today because you recognize that today is an appointed time, but there's the Spirit of God that has ordained that he do something powerful and effective in your life today. Come on. Today. You know, our attitude makes a lot of difference. It really does. The Bible says it was 3 in the afternoon. Peter and John, fresh out of understanding now this upper room experience, fresh out of there, fresh recipients of the Holy Spirit being poured out, fresh recipients of the promise of God, fresh receivers that heard the wind. We preached about that a few weeks ago. They saw the fire. They heard the wind. And they were simply going to the temple for some prayer time, fulfilling the Jewish custom of 3 times a day. Okay? Kind of like meals, y'all. Okay? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They were going through the routines in their spiritual walk. And I'm always amazed at the level of commitment that I see among the Jewish people to the Hebrew Bible and prayer. I mean, listen, you're not going to go to Israel and not see a deep, deep, deep level of commitment among the Jewish people for the Hebrew Bible and a time of prayer. I don't care where you go. I mean, they got it in front of their face, what are they talking about? They're speaking Jewish. They're speaking Hebrew. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. They're just going through the Torah over and over and over again, just like you and I should go through the Gospels over and over. And I've read that before. I think I want to read something interesting like Ecclesiastes. Oh, help yourself there. Go ahead. Just read over and over again the wonderful stories of Jesus, the epistles. Go into the Old Testament, read the prophets. Just read over and over and over again. So Peter and John, fresh out of that experience, but something shifted on this particular occasion. They'd been through this before, and so it was something different this time. Why? Because there had been an opening of the gate. There had been a release of the presence and the power of the God, and there was something unusual about their experience now. Have you come to that place in your life where finally you reached a place where it all just kind of makes sense to me now, Pastor? I went to church all of my life, but now I get it, and I get it deep down in my soul. I get it in my heart. I get it today. Amen. Listen, if you're getting up in age like I am, I'm more concerned about my soul than I've ever been in my life. I want to have time with the Lord. I want to listen to worship music. I want to hear what the Lord is saying to His church. And so I plug in when I get in the vehicle. I'm always listening to a podcast, a preacher, or some powerful worship to keep my soul encouraged. Amen. I'm just like some of you. I had to see what the big deal was with Jason Aldean. What did he talk about? The man just said, look, don't come in our small town cutting up. We allowed to shoot you. Okay? So I listened to the song. Then I went back to my worship. Because everybody's talking about Jason Aldean has been, you know, he's been attacked on Facebook because of his song. So I thought, well, I need to be up on what's going on. So I just did the search, and frankly, I liked the song. The song says, listen, don't come into our town cutting up. You'll regret it. Okay? Okay? And so when I'm in the vehicle, I'm encouraging myself. I'm listening to Dr. David Jeremiah or T.D. Jakes or Courtney McBath or Joyce Meyer or Wallace Phillips. And I even listen to myself. Come on, I do. Because I want to hear what I sound like. Tomorrow morning, I'll listen to Pastor Frank sitting right here on the third row. Monday manna will come to my phone tomorrow morning about 6 o'clock. Twice. I get it twice so I won't forget it. And he'll welcome me to Monday manna. And I take a download from the technology that's available through the iPhone, through the iPad, through the computer, wherever I'm at. And I receive a download. And I do that because there's been a shift in my life, because I'm concerned about my relationship with God. And that's what happened to Peter and John. There was a shift. It was no longer mundane for them. This is a powerful experience for them. The gates led to powerful prayer. I'm asking you, does your prayer time mean anything to you today? It should. It should be a meaningful experience for you to talk to God. Amen. Secondly, open gates lead to a greater sensitivity to people. A greater sensitivity to people. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. Now, a crippled man. See, they're going to the church at the time of prayer, but the Bible says, now, a crippled man from birth. And notice what it says here. It's not new to Peter and John, because look at what it says. He was being carried by the gate called Beautiful, where he was put, come on, every day. The brother had some faithful friends. They go to his house, pick his body up physically every day, or wherever he hung out. He might have been sleeping by the dumpster. He might have been, you know, just under a tree. Might have been under the bridge. That's a spot for homeless folk. But every day, the Bible says every day, some people picked him up and carried him to the gate. Why didn't they stick him by the gate? Because there's so much passageway there. It's the traffic where? Into the city. It's the gate called Beautiful. Why they call it Beautiful? Because it was the one gate out of all of the others that was adorned with gold and precious stones and silver. It was decorative. It was called the Beautiful Gate. I've been there. I've seen the Beautiful Gate, and I've seen that there are still, every time I've gone to the gate called Beautiful, there's still people just like this laying there by the gate. Alms for the poor. They got a little tin can. They got some coins in there, and they're shaking it back and forth. And the message is, I need some money. They're still laying there. I've seen people laying there with no legs, cut off, both of them, right beneath the hip joints. Somebody had to do what? Carry them there. Just like this. He was carried there. He was put there every day. What was he there for? Help me. To beg. He was there to beg from those going where? To the temple courts. Because guess what Jews are going to do? They're going to the temple. How many times a day? 3 times. Are you getting this? I'm trying to paint it for you so you'll understand. This is very routine. And so open gates lead to a greater sensitivity. Don't just think that people are just going in, going out. People are going in, people are going out. People. No, there are people with genuine, authentic needs, just like there are in this room today. There are people sitting here who are struggling with yourself. There are folks sitting here who are battling issues of self-esteem. There's a man here, woman here, 2 men, 3, I don't know. There are people here struggling with pornography. There are people here stuck on reels. There are people here who get the shorts and can't get off of them. There are people here who are tangled up in certain things. And you're not just going in and out. No, you're troubled. You carried yourself to the internet. At your own will. Nobody carried you. You push on that site because you want to be there. Okay? And so what the Holy Spirit does is it gives you a greater sensitivity that people really do have needs. I'll never forget, several years ago, a man in this church came to my office. He said, Pastor, I'm almost embarrassed to be here. Kind of stuck his head down. He said, I want to tell you something that I'm going through. And he starts telling the story. And I said, just take your time. He's telling the story. And finally he gets to a place. And I said, yeah, I know what you mean. He stopped and he raised his head up. He said, wait a minute. He said, how could you possibly know? I said, because I experienced the same thing you just described. You? I said, yeah. I experienced the same thing you just described to me. And the whole meeting with him shifted. I was transparent. I was honest. I was open. I said, hey, I know where you are, man. I'm not just taunting words. Yeah, I know how you feel. No, no, no. I experienced what you described. Thank God I don't have that experience anymore, but I have been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt. And he began to weep, and he said, man, I've carried this for a long time, and I just didn't want to talk about it. I said, the reality of it is, if you don't confess it and talk about it and get victory over it, it's not going away. Some of you are sitting here this morning, you're still carrying stuff that hasn't gone away. You don't have to. Why? Because there are people with greater sensitivity. Somebody's going to come to you. Somebody, God's going to send somebody to you that has an open gate in their life, and they're walking in sensitivity. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say sometimes you can just read people? You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at somebody and know that they're discouraged. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at somebody and know that they're under a tremendous cloud of oppression. Sometimes you can just sense things going on in a person's life. They just look defeated. And so that's what open gates do. They give you a greater sensitivity to people. I have a friend. I call him a friend because, you know, he and I don't hang out. We've never had lunch together, anything like that. But I call him a friend because I really see him as a friend. But I never will forget several years ago when this friend came into my life. I got out of my truck. I'm going through the routine. I'm going to the temple at the hour of prayer. I was at the post office. And it's just a daily thing, you know. You just go by there. You got a box there, you go there. And so when I get out of the truck, I look up and I see this guy, and he's walking, you know, with an unusual gait like this. And so what do I do? I'm more sensitive. I have a greater sensitivity. I'm seeing this guy, and I literally, sincerely care about his what? Struggle. I said, hey. And it took him, he just didn't go like that. He had to get his steady here and turn around and said, hey, hold up. And I just called up with him. I said, stay right there for a second. I said, I've seen you a few times here, bro. What's your name? John Wayne.
Well, that's easy to remember.
That wasn't very good, but I tried. I said, John Wayne? He said, yeah. I said, John, obviously life is challenging for you. Tell me what's going on with you. What was I doing? I had a greater sensitivity. Because when you go to the post office, most of the time I'm in, out, I'm gone. I don't care about your limp. Are you getting this? But I've got a greater sensitivity to people. And realize, here we go, let's back up a second, that I'm one of those appointed because the Holy Spirit's been poured out and I have an assignment to walk in the power of God. Okay, come on, y'all. Have an assignment to walk in the power of God. So John Wayne, tell me what you're struggling with. He went to the story and I reached into my pocket. I said, hey, what do you do? How do you make ends meet? He said, I wash windows. He said, I just go down. That's where I'm heading now. He said, I go down and I have people that I wash windows for. And he said, I just cleaned the windows in Edenton. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, bless this man. So I just reached into my pocket. I said, John, hold out your hand, bro. And he held out his hand, and I reached in, and I got some cash, and I started counting off bills. And he started crying. He said, what are you doing? I said, I want to be a blessing to you. Why was I being a blessing to him? Because I have a greater sensitivity to people. And I have money in my pocket that I really can do without, okay? I don't really have to have it all. And what happened was I formed a bond with him. And when he left, I prayed for him. I said, John, do me a favor. I gave him one of my business cards. I said, would you place this somewhere in your house? Refrigerator, bedside table, chair side the table that you sit and watch TV. I said, would you put this card somewhere where you can see it, and would you simply pray for Pastor Wallace? And now I go to Edenton sometimes, and it's not me saying, hey! It's me walking to the post office, and what I hear a voice say, hey, Pastor Wallace! Hey, John! How you doing, bud? Why? Because John and I are friends. Why? Because I had one day a greater sensitivity. Are y'all getting this? Are you getting this? A greater sensitivity to people. The third thing I notice is open gates increase your availability to be used by the Holy Spirit. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for money. Spirit-filled living not only causes you to be sensitive to other people, but it causes other people to look at you and know that you're from a different kingdom. Come on, y'all. They know something is different about you. And you know, you can go into a restaurant and you can look and you can see people bow their heads and pray. Others just sit down and start devouring. The spirit of Pac-Man comes on them and they just start eating. Okay? Boop, 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 boop. But some people stop and pray. Can I just tell you, you have something on you that identifies you as a person of the open gates. Come on, y'all. People spot you. You spot people, but people spot you. You got an unwritten sign on you that says, I'm available. Number four, open gates raise your faith level. Open gates raise your faith level. Acts chapter 3, verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Peter and John were at the place where they recognized they do have something to offer. And so they were willing to, here we go, activate their faith. I'm just going to tell you because it's the truth. 9 times out of 10, if I'm in a public place and I see somebody with an infirmity that it don't take discernment for me to figure it out, Pastor Frank, I'm going to him. Hey, man, how you doing today? Obviously, you got a struggle that I don't have, okay? Can I just pray for you? I don't take any discernment at all. It takes a willingness to just stop. Why? Because it raises your faith level. Maybe today is a day for this guy. Maybe today is a day for this gal. My faith level is raised. I have an agenda. My agenda is to be used by the Holy Spirit today. So maybe this is my opportunity. And that's what an open gate does for you. Fifthly and finally, open gates lead to fresh anointing and power. Acts chapter 3, verses 5 to 10 tells the rest of the story. The heart of it, really. So the man gave them his attention. They just said, what? Look at us. Expecting to get something from them. I can't imagine that he had his can held up. He gave them attention. Look at us. But I just want to present you a different commentary here. I believe that when Peter and John turned, the can lowered. I think he set the can down. You're not going to find it in the Bible. Don't you look? You're not going to find that. But I believe that something began to happen in this man, and he realized that something was getting ready to happen that was deeper than a few more coins. Come on. And so he laid the can down. And that's what some of you may do today. Just lay the thing down that you were thinking of. Peter said, look, man, silver and gold I don't have. I don't have a Visa card on me. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk! It's a command. Taking him, and here's faith activated, taking him by the hand. He held him up, helped him. Instantly, the Bible says, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them in the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Now I'm going to the prayer meeting. Come on. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, number 10, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And the Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. How long had he been doing this? Come on, give me a number. All of his life, give me a number. It's in there. Come on, help him out, Pastor Mike. 38 years. Another passage says that it was 38 years of infliction on his life. My question for you this morning is, how long are you going to be depressed? How long are you going to feel suicidal? How long are you going to depend on people to carry you? When you really don't need anybody to carry you. You have full availability. No, I don't want to drive. No. You do, but there's a fear over your life. There's a reason why you don't want to drive. I preached a message in a church one time. On the way to the church in Elizabeth City, the Holy Spirit changed my message. I said, God, what are you doing to me? change the message that I'd already sent the team, all of the overheads, the PowerPoint. I sent the message, and about 5 miles from the church, Charles, Holy Spirit said, speak on fear. I said, Lord, I've already given the speak on fear. And I preached on fear that night, and a lady came to the altar, literally almost crawling. She was crying and squalling. And Pastor took the microphone. He said, folks, what you don't know is this dear lady right here had a son who was killed in a car accident 5 years ago. And not once has she sat in an automobile to go anywhere because she was afraid that she too might also be killed. So fear has kept her from that. She gets out on the ditch bank and walks to this church, mile and a half she lives down the road, and she walks. Rain, snow, sleet, hail. She walks because she ain't, I'm walking because I don't want to get in a car because I'm scared to ride in a car. Okay? Remember me asking you last week, how many of you drove a little better than her? Come on, come on. Because what happens when things take place, it works on our emotions, okay? It works on our emotions. So my question is, when are you going to stop being carried to something? And you can take that and apply it to your life in whatever way it fits. There's a shift. Can I just tell you the gates are open? Okay. The gates are open. Could I have some ministers here to help me in the altars? Come on, ministers, just help me out. The gates are open. The gates are open. Come on, guys. The gates are open. The gates are open. There's a shift. The Holy Spirit has been released. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Okay? And so we're now in a season where the same power, let's go right back to the first part of my message, same power is available. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to flow through these guys right here. This team of people right here. So could I ask you just to stand with me? Let's everyone stand. And if you're here this morning and you just say, Pastor, I'm so glad that I'm here today because I believe today's my day. Come on, step out of your seat right where you are. Come on, just step out. I know I could label 5 or 6 of you because I can see it on you. Just step out of your seat right now and let's let God touch us today. Because the gates are open. Let's let him touch us today. The gates are open. Come on, step out of your seat and allow God to touch you today. Well, I don't want to be criticized, or listen, you got to stop listening to the devil. How many of you want freedom today? I want to be free. I want to be free today. I don't want to worry about this anymore. I don't want to be plagued by this thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, ask your neighbor, friends. If you're standing beside someone, you want me to go with you? Come on, ask her. You want me to go with you? Come on. Turn to somebody. Would you like for me to go with you? Come on. I'm saying this because I know God's dealing with people. Just want to make sure, Pastor. Jesus. Healing in the name.
Healing in the name
of Jesus. Lord, come on, let God touch you today.
Power in the name.
Thank you, Lord.
Of Jesus.
Power.
Power in the name of Jesus. Whenever we say his name.
Bless you, Lord.
Power in the name.
Thank you, Lord.
Of Jesus.
Power. Hallelujah.
His name is begin to
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name. Healing in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Things begin to change. Healing in the name.
Thank you, Lord.
Of the Lord.
Oh, Rabasata. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Healing in the name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Whenever we say His name, things begin to change. If healing in the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Whenever we say His name, things begin to change.
You don't have to worry about it.
There's a power and a strength in this place. When we all come together and focus our attention on what's really important. You know, a lot of things going on around the world and in our lives that really doesn't carry the weight of what this does. And I pray that you've been strengthened today and you have been encouraged today to face the week in a place that we really don't belong. Because we all belong somewhere else. And we're just pilgrims passing through. So we are not of this world, but we do have to live in it. Until we are granted pass to go home. So I just pray that whatever you're facing this week, you will know it's only temporary. It is only temporary. Because the eternal one day will come to us all. And we'll all be in the greatest joy we've ever experienced. Hallelujah. Be seated with me for a moment. Today I have a missionary family that I want to introduce to you and for you to just listen to their testimony about their ministry. This couple and their two daughters are very, very different than what we normally think about missionaries. They have a job, an anointing for something that is extremely important, but it's not in that category that we normally think about when we think about missionaries. Now, they do some of the other things, but they do have an amazing appointment and assignment. And as I was talking with them last night, I realized they're really like spiritual physicians. Their ministry calls them to help churches that are struggling. Churches that without help might potentially not survive. To come along beside pastors and congregations that have faltered for some reason or another, but yet there's still a call and a purpose for that church. It takes a very different heart to go to places like that. It takes a great surrender. Because a lot of these situations aren't really that glamorous. But they're going to help turn churches around and help lift up churches all across the United States, especially here in North Carolina. And they need your help. They certainly need your prayers. So I'm going to introduce to you Charles and Joanna. Juliana, you coming up? Okay. Well, his wife, Juliana. We have Emma and Olivia here with us as well. And Charles is going to tell you a little bit about his ministry. And I want you to get behind this couple that they might save churches.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. Again, my name is Charles Russell. My wife, Juliana, our two daughters, Emma and Olivia. We are the Russells. And if there's only one thing that you remember about the Russell family, it's this. We love the local church. I mean, we absolutely love the local church. And God has called us to serve the local church. As a family and as a mission, we've grown up in the local church. Both of our parents are pastors, and in fact, my parents have retired twice and they're pastoring again. So it's just a part of who I am, part of who we are. We've grown up in the local church. We've studied the local church at Southeastern Bible College University, now at the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. We've studied structure and organization. Systems, process, all those things that give me goosebumps and helps me feel Jesus. And we've served the local church. For 25 years, we've pastored in the local church. Been privileged to be senior pastors and serve three different turnaround churches. We love the local church. But if I'm honest this morning, we've got to admit that the churches around the world, but especially here in America, the church is in a difficult place. She's in a weak position right now. The story of the church the last few years has sounded like this. Pre-COVID, anybody here ever heard of COVID? Okay, pre-COVID, 80%, 8 out of every 10 churches had plateaued or was in decline. That's before COVID. COVID comes unexpectedly out of nowhere, and the world is blindsided. We understand the effect that COVID had on organizations and businesses and many other organizations, but the church was hit by COVID, and COVID accelerated the trends that were already taking place in the local church. And there are many churches today that closed their doors during COVID and have never opened them again and will never open their doors again. Post-COVID, we thought it was going to be a great reunion and everyone was going to come pouring back in, but what we've discovered, it seems like across the board there's about 20% across most churches. Most churches kind of experienced about a 20% drop-off. Some pastors are even reporting that only 60% of their pre-COVID congregations have returned to worship and be a part of the church. And people are being affected and impacted by the struggle of the church. In fact, there's a popular notion and idea by some church experts, whatever that means, that once a church plateaus or begins to decline, that it's impossible to turn that church around. But here's what I believe this morning. I believe in resurrection power. I believe that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, He lives in you and He lives in me. I believe that resurrection power is not just for Easter Sunday, but I believe resurrection power is for every day of the year. It's for every person who is alive, and it's for every local church that is in existence. And I believe Jesus is ready to raise His church back to life. I am convinced this morning that the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing across the United States. That the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing across the state of North Carolina. But what I have observed is that far too many churches have not raised their sails to catch the wind of the Spirit. What are you talking about, raising your sails, Charles? Let me tell you about a church that we were blessed to pastor, where we had to raise our sails. We were blessed to go and pastor this church. But what we discovered very quickly was the church was paralyzed by fear. The church was fearful. She was scared that she was going to lose all of her people, that she was going to lose all of the money that was in the bank, and that eventually that the tailspin this church was in could not be reversed, and that she would lose the church. It's hard to lead in that kind of environment. It's hard to move forward when you're paralyzed by fear. And I'm a do-it kind of guy. I like to achieve. I like to win. And we sat in the board meeting after several meetings of everyone of the board wringing their hand because we couldn't even make simple financial decisions because of fear. Over just a few dollars. And I had had enough. Now, I know Pastor never loses his cool. I lost my mind that night around the boardroom, and I slammed my hand on the conference table, and I said, "It's enough. Enough. We will not do this any longer. God has not put you in this position, and the church has not affirmed your position as board members to lead this church by fear any longer. We will lead this church by faith. We're going to raise our sails and catch the wind of the Holy Spirit." And they agreed with me. I don't know if they thought I was right or if they were just scared I would climb over the table and beat somebody up. But nevertheless, we repented before the Lord and committed to each other. We will lead this church by faith. And for the next year, we put our head down and we developed leaders and we built teams and we implemented processes and built structures and used simple systems. We were intentional in how we led the church. And in 1 year's time, in just one short year, we lifted our heads and look what the Lord has done. Salvations went through the roof. families were healed and reconciled to one another and restored in their relationship to the Lord. Physical healings, spiritual and emotional healings, relational healings were taking place in the church and through the church in the community. In 2 weeks' time, 15 of our teenagers and young adults baptized in the Holy Spirit. This church that was scared of losing all of her money, God increased our tithes alone by 35% that in 1 year. And this church that was so fearful of losing all the people in the church, God added 75 brand new people to His local church. Friends, we raised our sails and we caught the wind of the Spirit, and that's what God has asked the Russell family to do. To leave pastoring one church and to begin to work on multiple churches, to come alongside churches and leaders and pastors and congregations to help them raise the sails of their church, to catch the wind of the Spirit and to move forward into the calling and into the place that God has uniquely and specifically designed for that local church to serve and to lead in her community. And our family has said, yes, Lord, we'll go. We're going. And we're here this morning to ask you, we need your help. Would you help send us? There's a picture there on the screen. There's a QR code. You could scan that QR code just quickly, and it'll take you to a website. It's called a Linktree. And that's what the second slide is. It's a few ways that you can support us. Number one, you can pray for us. We have prayer cards. We would love to put a card in every person's hand. Has a picture of us, also has the same QR code here. Pray for us. Just pray for us as you remember too. We covet your prayers. If you want to go deeper in prayer with us, we have a prayer team of about 16 people, and they said, Charles, we'll pray an hour a week with you. And so every Monday I send out a group text to our prayer team to lift up the needs of churches and the needs that our ministry is serving. And so if you'd like to be a part of that and you'd like to pray an hour a week, some people do that an hour one day, or 30 minutes over 2 days, or 10 minutes over 6 days, just an hour a week that you would pray with us for Charles Russell Missions. The second way you can support is there's a link on there for we have a missions page on Facebook. You can go to that page. Like that, follow that page. We put newsletters, pictures, updates, and you can go on the journey with us and help us raise the sails in local churches. Third is you can support us financially. There is a link on there if you would like to be a financial partner with us and support us through a faith promise that simply says, with God's help, we will, with a monthly financial gift, give whatever amount you and Jesus decide to give to support us. And so we have supporters that give from $5 a month to several hundred dollars a month and everything in between. And so wherever you and the Lord figure out that you would like to partner with us, praise God. We are thankful and grateful for it. And so there's a link there that takes you to a secure giving page, and you can set that up. There's also a link for an online faith promise form. You can go there and fill that out. Submit that, or we have hard copies of faith promise forms if you'd like one of those. Last but not least, we got a free gift for you. We're developing leaders, and so there's a link on here. It says leadership newsletter. Click that. You'll just have to sign up with an email, but do that, and you'll receive for the next 12 months just a free leadership newsletter. It'll come right into your inbox, and so take advantage of that. No one's going to stalk you or hound you or show up at your door. It's just a way for us to say thank you. We love you. We want to invest in your life. So we are the Russells, and we love, anybody remember? The local church. Absolutely. Thank you for help sending us to serve the local church.
Praise the Lord. Listen, know this. Our Assemblies of God organization has stamped their approval on the Russells to raise the sails for churches in North Carolina and other states as well. What are we going to do today? We're going to bless them with an honorarium, but I want you to, you know, every person, every family in this church needs someone that they hang with for the entire year. Support someone. It doesn't, you know, it may not be Charles, but it may be Charles, okay? But you and your family need somebody that you hang with all the time, financially and prayerfully. So go by the table. If you're the old school and you need a paper copy, they can hook you up with that. But pray about coming alongside of missions and raising the sails to churches, because he'll be all over, from Manio to Murphy, he'll be all over North Carolina helping those churches that need help. It's a striking reality, but it's true. There's a lot of churches beyond COVID that didn't make it, and there's a lot more that aren't going to make it unless somebody helps them raise the sail and get back in the wind of what God is doing in the church today. Praise God. Father, we bless you today. In Jesus' strong name, we speak peace and blessing over your people today, those watching online. Lord, we thank you that you opened the gates on the other side of Pentecost with spiritual power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And that power is available for us to strengthen our own lives, the lives of others, and raise the sails in the church. And we thank you for it. In the strong name of Christ the Savior, the risen Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves as you leave. Go by the Russell table, would you? They're there in the foyer on your way out. God bless you.